Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back down in the basement to do another solo mission. This time, going to take a look at last night's Impact Wrestling Victory Road. It was one of their minor pay-per-views, I would call it. It costs in Canada, it would set you back about $14 to watch this show. And so I checked it out last night, watched almost everything last night, and then finished it up with the final three matches this morning. And without giving away too much, I did enjoy a lot of things on this show. So welcome if you are a new listener to FNS Wrestling, and welcome back if you are a returning listener. Normally it's myself and my teenage son. We do a weekly show on Saturdays where we cover AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, some trivia, and a look at wrestling figures as well to end the show. And then there's the odd time I come down and do a solo mission, as I like to call it, where I've been looking at Ring of Honor every Monday, basically, and talking about their weekly television show. And then whenever I sort of the mood hits me and I have time and I enjoy the show, I'll come down and talk about an ROH pay-per-view or an Impact pay-per-view or something like that. So this one happens to be Victory Road, and I don't really have too much to say. I figure we could get straight into it. So let's do that, and I will recap and review for you Impact Wrestling's Victory Road 2021. So the show starts out with a package with a voiceover telling us about the road to the top being difficult. And then when you do get there, it's even harder because once you're a champion, there's always a target on your back. Then we get previews for some of the main matches on this card, including the X Division title match, the Knockouts tag title match, the World Tag Team title match, and the main event, which is Ace Austin taking on Christian Cage for the Impact Wrestling World Championship. So they tell us that the road to victory is arduous but simple, and who wants it most? The road starts now. Then the show starts, and our opening match tonight is Macklin and TJP and Petey Williams in like a three-way match. So if you don't watch Impact, Macklin has been involved with Petey Williams lately, has even defeated him in a match, partly because TJP had put a bet on the match in Swinger's Palace, and he had bet on Macklin, so he came down with No Way's conga line to cause a distraction. And while Petey Williams was distracted, Macklin did pick up that win. So now Petey kind of has issues with Macklin and TJP, and that's how we got to this match. So Petey, early on, dropkicks Macklin, followed by a springboard crossbody. Petey then dives onto both of them out on the floor a bit later. Macklin takes TJP to the top of the stage, connects with a really nice backbreaker. Macklin then, he does that where he hangs them up in the Tree of Woe in the corner, but he does it to both of them, one on top of the other, and then hits his really nice running spear to both of them in the corner. Petey hits a slingshot Hurricanrana on Macklin, followed by a springboard codebreaker. All three of them are down at one point here after just kind of a flurry of all kinds of offense. TJP hits Macklin with the detonation kick. Petey then hits TJP with the Canadian Destroyer. Macklin moves in quickly, however, hits his Mayhem for All finisher to Petey Williams to take him out, then steals the pinfall of TJP, who's still reeling from that codebreaker, and Macklin wins the opening match on Victory Road. So I actually thought this was a fun multi-man opener. I did miss, to be honest, full disclosure, the first couple minutes of this due to some technical issues, but I don't think I missed much of the actual match. I enjoyed it. I feel like the right person won. There was lots of fast-paced action in this, and the usual, like, highly aggressive, high-impact offense from Macklin. So you've got TJP and Petey Williams kind of flying around the ring, and Macklin trying to just hit them and take them down and hit his high-impact stuff. So it worked for me. And I said it after this week's TV episode of Impact that I'm officially on board with Macklin. I think that he should continue to move up the card here. He's been handled really well so far, and I hope it continues. I think they have something with him. I don't think this match was amazing by any means, but I thought it was an enjoyable opening match. I tend to like fast-paced multi-person matches to open up is completely fine with me, and that's what we got here, so I was happy with this. The second match we get is Black Tarus versus John Skyler versus Jake Something versus Laredo Kid versus Trey Miguel. So we've got a five-man match here, and I don't remember this match being promoted or being on the card ahead of time. And my son sort of ran down the card on episode 61 of our regular podcast, and I don't remember it being on there, but I definitely could be wrong. So anyways, I'm okay if it was added, because I'm a fan of almost everyone in this match. I am sort of becoming a fan of Trey Miguel. He's growing on me, but I've really liked the limited bit I've seen of Skyler so far. I think Jake Something is somebody they should use a bit more. Laredo Kid is always fantastic, and Black Taurus is amazing for his size, the things he can do. He always impresses me. So this starts out, Jake Something takes out Black Taurus, Skyler, and Trey with a big running crossbody. Laredo Kid hits a springboard dropkick, sending Jake outside. Laredo hits a signature spear of his onto Trey, and Trey ends, hits Jake with a top rope Meteora, which in turn causes Jake to land a DDT to Laredo Kid, so some combo offense happening here. Taurus then spears Jake, hits a crucifix bomb to Laredo Kid. Skyler hits a double spear on both of the other opponents in this match. Laredo Kid then wins the match with a crazy, so it's a belly-to-belly overhead suplex, where he just holds on, so he ends up doing a moonsault and landing on top of Skyler and maintains it for the pinfall. So I thought this was an incredible finisher. And obviously, I'm just hitting you with a few quick details here. I'm not doing detailed summaries like we sometimes do on the Saturday show. Just some quick highlights that I noted as I was watching it. So this, I thought, was another really fun multi-man match. And some people, that might not be their cup of tea, but I generally like multi-person matches, so it doesn't bother me that there's two in a row here, and this was a five-man. So incredibly fast action, lots of cool offense. These guys are all pretty talented performers, other than Skyler, who I haven't seen much of, but he's impressed me in what I've seen so far. Taurus and Jake kind of bring the power, although Taurus can do some pretty impressive things speed-wise as well. And then you've got Trey and Laredo Kid just flying around the ring at a million miles an hour. And then Skyler's kind of working this gimmick where he's like the sneaky, savvy, cheating heel kind of thing, and I think it all worked pretty well together. So I thought this match was a lot of fun. The finishing move, again, by Laredo Kid was crazy. I recommend checking it out. And I was in a good mood after the first two matches on this show. I thought, you know, I've been entertained, so I'm ready to go at this point. The next match, we sort of don't continue that pace, unfortunately, as it's Tennille Dashwood taking on Taylor Wilde in a singles match. So the idea here is Tennille Dashwood, since she has come to Impact, has for some reason been looking for a tag team partner. She's crossed paths with Taylor Wilde. They've had issues. There's been always a numbers game kind of in Tennille's favor whenever dealing with Taylor. So this is meant to be the one-on-one match where Taylor's hoping that others don't get involved. And that's what led us to this sort of match. So already Caleb with a K is getting involved. He hooks Taylor's leg early from ringside, and that allows Tennille Dashwood to take control early on. A bit later, Madison Rayne also gets involved. She chokes Wilde on the ropes while the referee's back is turned. And then we get Dashwood back in control with a bunch of submissions. Caleb gets up on the apron again to get involved. But Jordan Grace gets sort of takes him out. Or sorry, she's dealing with Madison Rayne actually on the outside. And then basically everything is brewing with all of these extra people here, so the referee just throws everyone out. So that's Rachel Ellering and Jordan Grace, who I didn't mention, were there as well, and Caleb with the K and Madison Rayne. So it's now officially just one-on-one as all of the extra people have been removed. So Taylor hits a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker for two, avoids the spotlight kick, which is Tennille's finisher, and Taylor hits her signature bridging German suplex to pick up the win here. Relative to everything else on this card, I thought this was one of the weaker matches of the night. It's no secret if you listen to the show that Taylor Wilde has not impressed me at all since she's returned to Impact. And Tennille has been kind of hit and miss in the ring with me. I think she's really capable, but it kind of depends who she's matched up against, it feels, which is too bad because ideally you'd look good no matter who you're facing, but I don't feel like that's the case so far. It felt like a longer version of a decent television match and nothing more, really. It didn't feel pay-per-view worthy to me. They got almost 10 minutes, and there were some stretches that weren't super exciting. So Tennille's been kind of spinning her wheels since arriving in Impact. I don't really know. I haven't seen her change levels. She's kind of in the same spot as when she started, it feels like. I have enjoyed her All About Me segments, sort of outside of the ring, but she's kind of not been in a memorable feud or storyline, to be honest, that since she's been here. So I wasn't thrilled with this match. So then we get a quick promo from Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards. They're talking about working together, but not being friends yet. Basically, the theory is here they need to coexist to fend off the two biggest dogs in the yard. That'd be referring to Moose and Morrissey, who've teamed up. And I thought this was a fine little promo, and I've actually enjoyed the dynamic between these two, who they're normally bitter rivals with a series of vicious attacks on each other, and now they're just trying to work together. I'm not a huge Eddie Edwards fan generally, but I kind of like him in this role. And I think Sammy Callahan specifically has been presented really well. He's been doing kind of like an anti-hero character lately. And for me, it really works. So I kind of have been intrigued by their sort of getting together here for the cause, I guess. So that takes us to a no DQ match between Rohit Raju, one of my favorites in Impact, if you don't listen to the show regularly, taking on Matt Cardona. So basically, Rohit in a mixed tag match, or a tag match that Chelsea Green was involved in, ended up hitting a flash knee strike to knock her out in that match. And she's been gone for a week or two selling that injury. So this is Matt Cardona trying to get revenge for his fiance getting her head kicked off, or kneed off pretty much, by Rohit in what looked like a really nice knee strike. So the match starts, Cardona attacks, actually it doesn't even start because Cardona attacks the heels before the bell, but it kind of backfires. The numbers game catches up with him, and Rohit and Shera take control. So Shera actually hits Cardona with a choke slam kind of backbreaker and then just leaves. And he, like, if I remember correctly, he like leaves out up the ramp and gone, which I thought was strange because this is a heel pairing in a no DQ match. So there's no reason he couldn't just stay there. But anyways, he kind of leaves the area for whatever reason. So Rohit drives Cardona throat first into a steel chair, continues the assault in the ring with a running cannonball into the steel chair. Looked pretty good, actually. Cardona shifts the momentum, hits a broski boot to a steel chair, and a pretty nice looking cutter to Rohit onto a trash can. Rohit hits a double foot stomps to Cardona into some chairs for a near fall. Cardona resorts to a low blow, then hits his radio silence, but Shera has come back, could have just stayed, and he breaks up the pinfall. Cardona then takes out Mahabali Shera with a radio silence out on the ramp. He comes back into the ring, and the finish comes when Rohit hits his drive-by kick, which he has been using to win some matches lately, but he gets ready to go do something else. Chelsea Green runs down, kicks Rohit, and this allows Matt Cardona to hit his radio silence finisher and pick up the win. So I thought this was a solid match. The outcome was really predictable, to be honest. Rohit knocked Green out with that flash knee weeks ago, so it makes sense that she needs to get involved here. I didn't think that Rohit was going to get a win over Cardona at this point. Unfortunately, if it were me 100%, I would be giving Rohit the win here and sort of pushing him a bit more than he is, because I think he's terrific. But just seeing the way things have been going and knowing Impact, I was pretty sure Cardona would win this. And I liked the match just fine. I don't think it was an amazing no DQ match, but there were some cool spots on the trash cans and with the chairs and stuff. So I didn't dislike the match, but it didn't blow me away either. We then move into a tag team match between Bullet Club members Hikaleo and Chris Bay, and they are taking on Finjuice. So Chris Bay is new to the Bullet Club, and Hikaleo is kind of new to Impact Wrestling over from New Japan. He is Haku's son, I believe, and he is humongous, a very, very tall man. So this is sort of them teaming up to take on Finjuice. So Juice Robinson is still selling a leg injury before this match and throughout this match from a previous attack by the Bullet Club. So the Bullet Club, of course, are going to target that injured leg, and they isolate Juice Robinson early on. Finley is finally tagged in. He lands a flurry of offense to the heels. Hikaleo eventually stops that momentum with a really nice scoop power slam, kind of very much like Randy Orton. It looked really nice. Hikaleo then hits Finley with a nice delayed vertical suplex. Juice Robinson connects with a back body drop on Chris Bay, then a DDT for a near fall. Juice Robinson takes out Hikaleo with a slingshot crossbody on the floor, and then Bay sneakily takes a steel chair to the injured leg of Juice Robinson. Hikaleo capitalizes on that injury with a massive sit-out slam, and the heels, the Bullet Club here, pick up the victory in this tag team match. I guess I would say this match was solid. I thought Hikaleo looked better than the previous match in Impact, where I thought he looked not good at all. It's still clear that he's pretty limited. The other three did a lot of the legwork in this match, and they did a pretty good job. I mean, there was classic heel strategy employed here, trying to isolate the injured man and targeting that weak leg, so that all made sense to me. So the match was good. It allowed Hikaleo to do just enough, but again, just kind of a solid match in the middle of the show, as it seems to be sort of the case for a couple matches here. We then move on to another tag team match, which is a new tag team. So we've kind of got the old trope of reluctant tag teams, because neither of these teams really like each other. You've got Moose and W. Morrissey. They just have common enemies, so they're kind of working together. Same with Sammy Callahan and Eddie Edwards. They're bitter rivals for many years, and now they're sort of forced to team up to try and take care of this larger team. So Callahan and Eddie work together pretty well in the early going until Morrissey ends up stopping them with a double choke slam. Morrissey sends Eddie to the floor with a big boot off the top as Eddie's perched up there about to hit something. Morrissey continues to dominate until Eddie hits a blue thunderbomb to create separation, and he finally makes the tag to Sammy Callahan. Moose gets taken off the top with a Death Valley driver for two, but then Moose takes Callahan off the top with his go to hell for a near fall of his own. Moose then, impressively every time, like LA Knight just did on NXT, he leaps up to the top rope from the mat and hits a really nice superplex to Eddie here. Callahan and Eddie then use some tandem offense, but they just are having trouble putting Moose away. Moose somehow gets Eddie's kendo stick, but Eddie avoids getting hit with it. Eddie hits Callahan's pile driver on Moose, but Morrissey picks up Alicia down on the floor at ringside and basically looks like he's going to throw her into the crowd as she's just thrashing her legs as he's got her across his shoulder. This distraction allows Moose to hit his signature spear to Eddie, and then Morrissey comes in the ring and actually power bombs Alicia right in the middle of the ring. Everything kind of stops for a while, and Morrissey's doing a really good job of this kind of little bit of a smile on his face, looking really pleased with himself for just power bombing this petite woman as he is a giant monster of a man. So super heel energy here, obviously. So Eddie comes, picks up his injured wife, and carries her to the back and is leaving Sammy Callahan all alone against these two monsters. He doesn't have much of a chance here, and Moose fairly quickly proves that, hits his spear to Sammy Callahan, and Moose and Morrissey pick up the win in this match. So I actually thought this was a pretty good match, and part of it was the story that it was telling. You have two guys that hate each other are forced to work together to have a chance against these two monsters. And Morrissey's character, since he's come to Impact, has been that, just based on his history with the wrestling business, he's saying that you can't trust anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. They're all just waiting to sort of abandon you and turn their back on you. And so that is what basically happened here. Regardless of the reasons, Sammy did end up being abandoned by Eddie, and it cost them the match. So I kind of like that being worked in. My only complaint would be that the amount of dead time after Alicia got powerbombed, as Eddie and Sammy were just like nowhere to be seen, and it was for longer than is natural in a wrestling match, or that's common in a wrestling match. They just took a long time to sort of, for either of them to come to and deal with the damage that had been done. But anyways, that's kind of nitpicking. Overall, I enjoyed the match. I think the Moose and Morrissey combination, for me, they should be pushed as a monster tag team right now. If you don't want to pull the trigger on Moose as your champion, which it seems like you don't, and I think Morrissey could use some help in not sort of having lengthy singles matches, and these two look amazing together, they would be realistic to just steamroll the division, get the tag belts, and just run roughshod through this division for quite a while would be totally believable. It might even add some prestige to the belts even further, because the Good Brothers aren't doing much for me holding those titles forever. And I think Sammy after this match will be even more justified as like the loner anti-hero, because Eddie did leave him high and dry in the middle of this match. So I like this match. I like the in-ring, and I like the kind of story that was told with it. We then move to the Knockouts Tag Team Championship match, which is taking Decay, Havoc, and Rosemary versus Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. Sorry, gonna have a sip of coffee here. Forgive me. So Steelz and Evans stole the titles from Decay on this past week's episode of Impact Wrestling. And in a storyline I really can't stand, because it's very lazy and WWE style, it's basically you stole the belt from us, so now you get a title match. So I don't really understand why Scott D'Amore wouldn't step in, because what's to stop everyone from just stealing titles? The precedent is now set. You steal a title, you get a title shot. So I wasn't a huge fan of it, but that's what they're going with. That's how we got here. So Havoc early on attacks Savannah Evans in the corner, then makes the tag to Rosemary, who hits a running clothesline. Rosemary locks in her upside down in the ropes that I'm not a big fan of, because it's just another one of those moves that you can't keep on because it's in the ropes, but the crowd really likes her, so it's fine. Tasha ends up blindsiding her with a clothesline to sort of shift the momentum. Havoc hits a sit-out powerbomb on Tasha, but Savannah breaks up the pinfall. Rosemary hits Savannah Evans with the mist out on the floor. Moments later, Havoc tosses Tasha over the top rope, and the heels sort of collide on the floor. Havoc hits Tasha with the tombstone piledriver, and that finishes the match as Decay retain the Knockouts tag team titles. I wasn't a big fan of this match. I don't think it was very great, to be honest. The crowd is really into Rosemary, and this crowd, I always say, it's a tiny crowd, but they do a really good job. They're very energetic, and they're kind of doing what they're supposed to do all night, and they seem to be having a good time. So they do actually add something to the show. But I thought this match was just okay. I really like Tasha Steele's character work. I think she's dealing with a little bit more serious character. I think she's doing a good job, but she's kind of hit and miss in the ring for me sometimes. I think she's still kind of developing in that area, but a lot of talent and potential. So Havoc and Rosemary, to be honest, they just kind of bore me at this point. They each seem to be doing the same thing they've done for years. It's just that now they're doing it together as a team. So I don't know. I would like to see more of Savannah Evans because I think she seems fresh. She's new to Impact. She has a cool look. She seems like she can wrestle a bit. So I'd like to see a bit more of her. I don't think this match was bad, but I don't think it was a strong pay-per-view match. And the Knockouts tag division seems to need a jumpstart a little bit. There's not a lot of teams in the division, and there's not a lot of like believable teams or teams that I really want to get behind. So other than I really like Grace and Ellering together, but they seem to not be getting too many matches lately. And then there's really not that many teams in this division. So I don't know, they need to do something. We then get an Ace Austin interview as he previews his match against Christian Cage tonight, claims that becoming the youngest Impact world champion in Impact history is inevitable. So it was actually a lengthy promo. I just sort of summarized it very, very much there. I thought he did a really good job. So good that I honestly started to feel like maybe there's a slight chance he could win tonight in the main event. Just felt like a promo. They really gave him an opportunity to speak here. And it kind of convinced me, or gave me a little more percent chance that he might come out on top in the main event. But we'll find out. So the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows, and Carl Anderson are now taking on Rich Swann and Willie Mack for the Impact Tag Team Championships. So basically, Mack is back from an injury he suffered at the hands of the Good Brothers. That sort of led us to this match, along with the singles match by, I think it was Swann along the way. I think he pinned Carl Anderson. So basically, they earned this match. It's just been a while coming because the Good Brothers took out Willie Mack, but he's back and ready to wrestle. And they do. So Mack and Swann take Gallows off his feet early on with a double drop kick. Later, Gallows hits Swann with a kick to the back of the head. Anderson attacks Swann on the outside before throwing him back into another boot from Gallows. Gallows drops an elbow on Swann, then wears him down with a headlock. Willie Mack comes in and the pace picks up here. He hits Gallows with a Samoan drop followed by a pop-up forearm to Anderson that looks pretty cool. Anderson finally stops Willie Mack with his signature spine buster. Swann hits Anderson with a handspring cutter, but Anderson comes back with a gun stun that Rich Swann sold like a champ, I thought. It really looked awesome the way he took it. Gallows powerbombs Swann out on the ring apron, kind of a short powerbomb. I don't think he got all of it, but still, the point got across. Back in the ring, Willie Mack obviously has to get hit by the magic killer because the Good Brothers aren't losing until they say they're going to lose, and they do, in fact, retain the titles here. So this match, I remember saying on episode 61, talking about it, that I was not looking forward to this match. I don't really care for either team, especially the Good Brothers. I can't stand Gallows generally. But this match, I have to say, it really over-delivered for me. I did not have much interest heading into this, but I thought it was a good match. Part of it, Gallows wasn't asked to do very much, which is always a good decision. And I thought Willie Mack in particular looked really strong. Just a really nice flurry. Everything looked good from him. Even though I never thought the Good Brothers would lose, and they didn't, I was still entertained by the match. So that's a pretty good sign. And I love when a match that I don't really want to see turns out to be good. And that's pretty much exactly what happened here. So a much better match than I was anticipating. Pleasantly surprised, shall we say. We then get the match I was probably looking forward to the most on this card. That's the X Division Championship match, and that's Josh Alexander taking on Chris Sabin. So again, really looking forward to this. Josh Alexander is one of my favorite performers in all of wrestling, not just Impact. And Chris Sabin, I can't stand him on any promos or acting or anything, but he's really, really good in the ring still, capable of putting on excellent matches, even though he's very much a veteran at this point. So the basic idea here is that Josh Alexander wants to be considered the greatest X Division champion of all time by the time he's done his run, and Sabin would likely hold that title now as he's an 8-time champion. So I think this is just really simple, effective story to build this match. One guy thinks he's the greatest champion of all time. The other guy wants to be. They respect each other, but they gotta have this match to figure it out. And I think that's a very cool story to tell that is really simple to get across. So early on, Sabin hits a slingshot crossbody to the floor. He then comes off the top rope, but Alexander counters him with a flapjack. Alexander locks in an ankle lock, first of many in this match, but Sabin escapes. Sabin avoids a top rope moonsault, then hits his own twisting neckbreaker on the floor as he begins to sort of target Alexander's neck. It seemed like there was a combination of targeting his neck and his arm. So Sabin hits a missile dropkick, locks in a crossface that Alexander eventually escapes as well. Sabin transitions into a pinning predicament, but Alexander locks in another ankle lock. Sabin counters and super kicks Alexander's headgear off. So earlier on in the match, I didn't mention it, but he'd also lost his mouth guard. I don't know if that one was on purpose. I don't even know if this one was on purpose, but it worked. So he hits him with a super kick. Alexander's headgear flies off, and it kind of seems to ignite Alexander. Like, it kind of just fires him up, I guess. And he comes back with the rolling chaos theory and hits his beautiful, beautiful C4 spike. Even my 10-year-old son happened to stop by for that one and was like, wow, that looked really cool. It does. So Josh Alexander retains the X Division title. The two men show respect for each other after the match. Sabin even comes over and raises Alexander's arm in victory. So I really liked this match a lot, but it was not what I expected. And that's fine. Even the commentary team talked, I think, pretty openly about how they expected this match to be worked at a much faster pace than it was. There was a section in the middle where things were kind of slow, but not necessarily bad. It's just, it's not what I expected at all. And then things picked back up as the match went on. By the end, I thought this was really good. Probably my match of the night, I would have to say. I think Josh Alexander, if you listen to this show, I say it a lot, he's the real deal. He should become the face of this company in the future, I think, before some other company snaps him up and he's gone, because they're going to. And I think this was a very good, maybe even excellent match. The X Division is really thriving right now with Alexander as the champion. So I'm loving most of the matchups that are on the horizon there. And I thought this was a excellent match. I would recommend it for sure. So the next thing, the only thing left, is maybe another sip of coffee, if you'll indulge me. And then the main event, which is Christian Cage versus Ace Austin, who has, as always, Madman Fulton with him for the Impact World Championship. So this is Ace Austin just won a multi-man match, I believe it was, to become the number one contender for this. His goal is to become the youngest Impact World Champion. I think he's in his early or mid-20s at this point. So he's looking to become their youngest champion ever. Christian Cage is over from AEW, holding their title right now. So obviously we've got the youngster versus the veteran, and that's the basic story for this one. So early on, Christian takes control with a flapjack for a two count. Christian then avoids a Fosbury flop from Austin and hits a basement dropkick to the outside. Fulton, involved of course, briefly distracts Christian from ringside, and Austin ends up taking control for a bit. He hits a super kick. Fulton is about to attack Cage out on the floor again. Not again, but actually get involved, so he only distracted the first time. But he's caught by the referee, and now he's thrown out as well, so we're hoping to get just a one-on-one match here. Cage hits a tornado DDT for two. Ace counters a spear attempt with a springboard kick. His kicks always look good. Cage misses his frog splash attempt, and Ace rolls out of the way. Cage eventually does hit his spear, but Ace kicks out for a nice near fall. Austin goes to pull off the top turnbuckle, and as the ref tries to stop him, a returning Fulton quickly attacks Christian Cage. The attack, unfortunately, isn't enough to stop Cage, and he, shortly after this, hits his kill switch to Austin to retain the Impact Championship. Again, just a few highlights. A lot more things were going on in this match, and I thought this was a really good match, probably just a notch below the X Division match that was right before it. I thought Austin came across looking like a legitimate threat throughout this. His kicks and his athleticism, I don't know if he used to be a gymnast. I suspect that he was, or an acrobat of some kind. So some of his stuff just looks incredible. He and Christian Cage seem to work really well together. I personally would have loved Austin to win, as I said before, as I think Impact should give him a shot at some point, and I'm sure they will, but the aftermath of this match made me quickly forgive the decision to leave the title on Cage. So Christian Cage retains in the main event, and then there is a segment to follow this, as after the match, Josh Alexander's music hits. He makes his way down the ramp into the ring, gets pretty close to face-to-face with Christian, and he simply holds up his title and says, "Bound for Glory, Option C." And the show goes off the air with the two champions face-to-face holding their titles high in the air. So I love this final segment. If you're not a Impact Wrestling follower, Option C many, many years ago, I think it was Austin Aries came up with it. So Option C is that he can, after, I think if you keep the title long enough, I don't know if there's a limit. Anyways, you can cash in your X Division Championship. You can vacate it and basically get a shot at the main title. So that is what Josh Alexander is going to do. So I love this little bit here. Alexander really is, he's better at cutting promos than I thought he was when he needs to, but generally he is a man of a few words. So him just looking down here, walking down, looking like a killer, and just saying Bound for Glory Option C, I thought was perfect. One simple line, perfect for him. It also allows this not for him to not actually lose the X Division title, so he can keep sort of that argument that he's the best one ever, because he'll never actually lose it. It's that he cashes it in for a title shot. And it kind of sets up for me what feels like a big match between these two. And if it's me, and I feel like it is actually a possibility, it might be what happens, I would have Josh Alexander win the championship, tout him as the man who brought it back to Impact Wrestling, give him a lengthy dominant run for the title, make him the face of your company for a little while or quite a while, because he's a guy that hasn't really been anywhere else, and you can sort of tout him as one of yours, and that he beat one of the best in the world from another company, a legend, a Hall of Famer, etc., etc. And I really think that's good for Alexander, and that's probably good for Impact and their championship. So not only do I think it's what they should do, I kind of feel like it's what they will do, and I'm really looking forward to the match and the subsequent title reign for Alexander. Don't want to get too far ahead, but I do feel like that's a realistic possibility. So overall thoughts on this. This was a fun show overall, pretty easy to watch if I'm being honest. Not everything was great, but for me, the top and the bottom of the show were quite entertaining, and even some of the weaker matches in the middle still weren't terrible. The opening two multi-man matches were fun. The final two championship matches I thought were pretty excellent. And then stuff in between was a bit mixed, right? I liked the tag team championship match more than I thought. I liked the Moose Morrissey match. Unfortunately, even the Cardona-Rohit match was fine. Some of the weaker ones, without Perrazzo on the card, the women's matches just weren't super great. I didn't feel like they were much above what you would see on an episode of Impact. So not bad matches necessarily, just didn't feel like pay-per-view matches to me. So those were probably the low point of the show, unfortunately. Still, I enjoyed the show overall. And like I said, for about $14 in Canada, I would say that I easily got my money's worth. And that's really all you can ask for. And that's a lot of where my grade is coming from. So I'm going to give this show a B+. I thought it was really good. It did have a couple matches that were kind of uninspired to me. Not maybe too many for it to be in the A range, but it's pretty close to that. The final two matches I thought were awesome. The opening couple matches were really entertaining. And then kind of a mixed bag in between, with some good along the way. So a B+ show from Impact. I was quite happy. I thought it was an easy watch, and I overall enjoyed myself. So that's going to bring us to the end of this review of Victory Road 2021. I would honestly love to hear what you thought of Victory Road itself, what you think of our podcast, what you think of wrestling in general right now. So the only way to get in touch with us, because we're kind of limited in our, we don't really promote this show much. We're kind of doing it as a hobby for fun. So if anybody wants to contact us, fnswrestling@gmail.com, fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram, or you can leave a comment in, if you're listening on YouTube. I will get back to everybody that contacts us in any way possible. Would love to hear anybody out there that's listening to the show, what your thoughts are on Victory Road or wrestling in general. And I think that's going to wrap things up. I will probably be back tomorrow night to take a look at Ring of Honor. I think it's their episode 522. I usually do that on Mondays, and then we'll for sure be back on Saturday with episode 62 to cover a whole bunch of stuff from the week of wrestling. So thanks again for any of you that spent any time listening to me talk about Victory Road. We'll see you on Saturday, and until then, take care.